The 1991 collapse of the Soviet Union ended the Cold War, or at least, that's what the West declared and celebrated. Post-Soviet Russia appeared to embrace free markets and democratic elections, and this new Russia was hailed as a friend and ally. Unfortunately, nothing could be further from the truth. Russian President Vladimir Putin has masterfully orchestrated the invasion and annexation of former Soviet territories, has managed to insert Russia into the middle of the geopolitical scene in the Middle East, and has in the process exposed President Obama and his administration. In The New Tactics of Global War, authors Benjamin Baruch and J.R. Nyquist explore what happened at the end of the Cold War and why Russia remains the number one threat to the United States. The moves and countermoves being played out on the world stage stem from a long-running strategy of deception. Stay tuned for this eye-opening discussion of what is unfolding today politically and how all of this is no surprise to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. My conversation with Benjamin Baruch is next on the Soaring Eagle Radio Show.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said. You talk of other things. Of shoes and chips and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Welcome, friends. Thanks for tuning in to this episode. As always, you can subscribe on iTunes, on Stitcher, on TuneIn. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And, of course, listen to every episode on our website, SoaringEagleRadio.com. My guest today is Benjamin Baruch. He is the author of The Day of the Lord is at Hand, as well as Search the Scriptures, a series aimed at helping believers walk in the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit every day. And his latest book, co-authored with J.R. Nyquist, The New Tactics of Global War. He is a chartered financial analyst and certified public accountant. He studied international finance and economics at the University of California at Los Angeles and did graduate studies at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. Benjamin, let's begin with a question, really what's on the mind of most of our listeners these days, and that is of a geopolitical nature. Geopolitics really is a manifestation of biblical prophecy, in my opinion. It is a well-known fact among folks that do this kind of research that Russia and China continue to not only arm themselves militarily, but they're also creating narratives that they feed their citizenry about the evil intentions of America. It appears that this is all in preparation for what many are calling a looming World War III. What are your thoughts, Benjamin?
Any nation that seeks to engage in military conflict and intends to succeed in political, economic, and military advantages must also address the propaganda war or the publicity side of the conflict, because in order to ultimately succeed, even if you achieve a military victory in conflict, you must be able to present the case that your war was a just war, that your nation had taken the high ground of moral rightness. And for that reason, the nations are as devoted to the propaganda spin of their position as they are the preparation for the actual military conflict. And, you know, for years, the United States had the high moral ground. The nations of the earth looked up to America in the 60s and in the 70s, even through the Reagan era. The United States was seen as the defender of freedom and a nation that stood for the truth. But that status, if you will, has been eroded by the scandals of the Clinton administration, the corruption or the incompetence, if you will, of the Bush administration. And then, you know, what do we need to say about the current administration? You know, in many, many quarters of the world today, the world believes that we invaded Iraq based on false pretenses, that we've engaged in illegal wars in many instances. So we've lost the moral high ground, and for that reason, our enemies, who are very clearly preparing and planning for war with us, part of that strategy, in order to win that war, they need to have the political ideology in place that they can claim that what they did in going to war with the United States was necessary for their own defense and, in fact, was justice. So that's the reason for the propaganda spin.
Yeah. And it's going on. Folks need to understand that. Now, here in America, when we talk about propaganda, some folks believe that America still has a free press, but it seems to me that the American media is playing a part in covering up what's really going on in the world and certainly in the Middle East. The current presidential election cycle is one example of a huge distraction that I believe is being employed to divert people's attention away from much more important issues. And for example, the American economy, for those who have been following this, the American economy is in very, very dire straits. Some say that it's ready to implode. What do you think about that?
Well, the financial position of our country is precarious at best. We've basically bankrupted the federal government. The pension plans are all insolvent. We've run the federal debt to near $20 trillion. Today we have artificially near zero level of interest rates. And it's been engineered as almost a zero interest rate policy because we can no longer pay real interest on our debt, or the amount of debt service would marry the budget. So, yes, the socialist system works great until you run out of other people's money, as Margaret Thatcher once commented. And, yes, the world has been, you know, the world's economy, with all of the socialism and the excess military spending, has been financed through ever-growing deficits. Well, you reach a point where you cannot continue to borrow without begging the obvious question, when will this debt be defaulted, either by a direct payment default or the debasement of the currency? You know, the United States cannot pay back its debt. So to continue to print money and continue to issue new debt is really issuing debt that will at one point be either devalued or defaulted. The world economy realizes this. Some people say we're the cleanest dirty suit in the laundry, but the reality is our enemies in many places are financing our current fiscal imbalance. That is not going to last. We've been placed in a position where there's a world hurt coming to our country economically before the next World War starts. And actually the debasement of our economy is part of the military strategy to weaken us so that we won't be in a position to defend ourselves. And they've succeeded. We elected a Marxist as president. Our military has been gutted, and our financial position is disaster. We run $500 billion deficits, and there's no end in sight. We have a structural trade deficit, and we live on borrowed money. You know, we're the brother-in-law who constantly needs help paying his rent. But at some point, the rest of the family decides they just can't keep sending good money after bad. And so, you know, it's a complex analysis, but to boil it all down, we've been living beyond our means for about 50 years, and we have, you know, mortgaged the future where it's impossible to ever pay the debt. We can't even pay the debt with real interest, let alone repay any of the principal, and at some point the house of cards will fall to the ground.
Yes, yes, perfect, yeah. Well, the media is also covered for all of the so-called wars on terror, on drugs, on poverty. But I think that any clear-thinking individual can look on that now and say each of those were huge failures. And in fact, I'm not certain that they were ever meant to succeed in the first place. Perhaps it was just a ruse to transfer wealth from us to other pockets. Is that a fair analysis?
Unfortunately, there is truth to what you just said. Michael Rupert, who was a detective with the Los Angeles Police Department, uncovered evidence of CIA involvement in cocaine distribution in South Central L.A., and his investigation was squashed because nobody wants to prove that. And he became an investigative reporter and uncovered the sorry truth that there's a shadow government operating within our country. That shadow government operates using the institutions of power. And what people don't understand is the shadow government, which is basically a criminal cartel, operates as a cancer inside an otherwise healthy organism. So the majority of people that work for law enforcement, or work in the intelligence community, or work in government, could be law-abiding, patriotic Americans, but there's a group of people who are essentially traitors. They've sworn allegiance to another government. It's the government of Lucifer, and the government of the satanic, and they operate against the interests of the United States. And so, was the entire CIA involved in drug dealing? No, of course not. Is the entire FBI compromised? No. Are all the agents that work in the CIA double agents for the Russian government? Of course not. But there are a significant number of double agents that have infiltrated our intelligence and security communities. That evidence, the evidence of that is overwhelming if you care to do the research. We have an open society. It is easy to infiltrate. It's also easy to turn Americans of questionable moral integrity. So, yeah, these wars, to some extent, they're all real. Law enforcement was clearly involved in a war on drugs, and most of the law enforcement personnel were clearly trying to fight the drug epidemic. But at the end of the day, the fact that there's also a shadow government that's operating behind the scenes fomenting these very same problems means that the law enforcement becomes a way to suppress competition, and the shadow government ends up dominating the space. As difficult as it may be to perceive that, that is what's been happening.
Yes, yes. Yep, I agree. One other example, Benjamin, that I wanted to bring up and have you express your thoughts. That the American media continues to spin a different tale, a different narrative on, is the what I refer to as the immigration invasion. And I see it as a well-designed tool of the globalists, intended really to destabilize Western governments. But that's not the narrative that's being fed to the American public.
Right. Don't you want to give a little refugee girl a cookie, Mike? Right? Yeah, the picture they paint is, you know, these poor families, and no doubt there are women and children that are suffering as a result of the tyranny of the Middle East governments. You know, life in the Middle East never was good. There are no free democratic countries in the Arab world. They're all under the rule of a despot. But your point is exactly correct. Behind the propaganda version of the refugee story is a hidden agenda to infiltrate Europe and the United States with essentially a destabilizing radical Islamic footprint, and they're succeeding. But, you know, going back to your comment on the media, I would direct our listeners to my website, BenjaminBaruch.net, and it's Benjamin Baruch, B-A-R-U-C-H.net, and there's a tab for News with Views articles that I've published. One of them is entitled Into a Dark Night, The End of Objective Journalism and the Rise of the Corporate Media State. And what has happened in the last 50 years since the dawn of the information age is control of the major media organizations in the world has become highly concentrated in the hands of six organizations. Those organizations control the version of the news that is presented to the public. Now, they have various flavors in the ice cream store. You can have your blueberry, or you can have your red berry, but in the end, you're drinking the same Kool-Aid with a different coloring. And the global news media never addresses the real issues. It's always the dog and pony show. There's always the shell game in which there is no pee. And there's various versions. You've got the liberal, you know, humanist ideology that the state is going to save you. Just give all your power back to the king, and you're going to love the feudal system. Yeah. And, you know, socialism is another name for slavery in the end. But then there's the neocon radical right. You know, give all the power to the state. We'll protect you from the evil terrorists. And again, we end up compromising our freedom. The voice for the people and the voice of the true issues is never heard because our media has, in effect, been compromised. Anyone who would dare speak about the true issues will either be ridiculed, fired, or simply never get a hearing. That's the reason why the alternative media, the Internet, has gotten so big. I think people just generally have figured out when you watch the evening news on CBS, you see BS. You're getting a propaganda version of the news, and it's very subtle propaganda. So I would direct people, I did an in-depth piece on this, which I entitled Into a Dark Night, The End of Objective Journalism. Objective journalism is gone. There's no editorial function. There's nobody questioning the official narrative. You've got two versions, the liberal left, the neocon right, but at no point is there ever a serious examination of the foundational paradigms that formulate these two supposedly opposing worldviews, but there is no opposition between these two worldviews. We elect a Democrat one year, a Republican another, but nothing ever changes. We are relentlessly marching down the road to Armageddon because, you know, behind the scenes there are spiritual forces that are in power, and the truth be told, the Lord has turned America over to judgment. The church has defected, if you will, and has left the Lord, much as ancient Israel forsook the worship of the true God of Israel. Oh, they kept the ritual, they kept the temple, they kept the holy days, but they didn't keep the love of God in their hearts. Their hearts went after other gods, and then the nation ended in ruins, and Jerusalem ended burned. And our end will be no different.
I want to come back to that point because that is a very important point that we want to share with those listening that are believing Christians. But that's a good segue into a discussion on cultural Marxism and how it really is the tool of choice of the globalists, the socialists, if you will, in their attempt to transform America. The 1960s Marxists are now in power, and in a twist that George Orwell couldn't have scripted better, predicting Christians, conservatives, and those who believe that the Constitution and the Bill of Rights must be observed as our nation's foundational documents to ensure freedom and liberty. Those folks, that would be me and you, by the way, Benjamin, are being cast really as radical revolutionaries and enemies of the state and put on terrorist lists. Now, all of that is the result of a slow and steady indoctrination of America's people, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, the truth has been withheld from the American people, and a very sophisticated system of propaganda has been communicated and taught, not only through the educational system, but through many of the churches and through the media, through the news, even through the entertainment that we watch. They're very subtle propaganda paradigms that are taken as self-evident today. And the Marxist ideology of the state, you know, must redress all the wrongs. The state will provide, you know, the social security and all of the basic needs. It is the state that is here to save you. And it drives a relentless people running from freedom into statism. And at the end of the day, the state becomes king, and we end up back in the feudal system. But there's a connection that is not often understood because people don't see the spiritual dimension of these things. But the Marxist communist governments are totally anti-Christ. They're totally anti-religion. And in the perfect Marxist model, the state is God. And the leader of the state, he's going to declare that he's the Messiah. It's ultimately going to be the Antichrist who takes control of a one-world socialist government. And don't forget, Adolf Hitler was the head of the National Socialist Party in Germany. We called them Nazis. You know, when we begin to give absolute power to the state to provide for the absolute good of mankind, and the rights of the individual become secondary or subservient to the needs and the goals of the state, there's no limit to the evil that can be introduced. You know, the American system of freedom, the whole concept of a free people with inalienable rights, is diametrically opposed to statism. And Marxism is just a form of statism. And the satanic government, which is a real organism, Satan has an organization. There's a satanic church. There is such a thing as the Illuminati, that is the head of the satanic church. And this organism, these are people that are committed to Satanism, also committed to Marxism and to Sovietism, and they work hand in glove. One of the reasons that the communist revolutions have been so successful, even though they never deliver on any of the promises when they come to power, the reason they've been so successful is Satan is in support of these agendas, because they are the stepping stones to the new world order of the beast, in which man will become God, the state will become our savior, and the whole world will be turned into a global plantation working for the satanic elite.
Yes, yes, that's right. Now I'm going to quote you. You just said evil knows no bounds in statism. It introduces evil that is just unimaginable. And I can't tell you the number of people, Benjamin, that have told me that they are just amazed, really discouraged by the rapidity of change they've seen in the last 10 to 15 years. They can't believe what America has become. And just for our listeners, I want to clarify that when we're discussing cultural Marxism, another name for that is political correctness, and folks will know it perhaps better that way. But political correctness really can be defined as an intellectual virus, if you will. It destroys the ability of people to think and reason, and it really turns people into emotional and intellectual zombies that just follow whatever is popular or whatever they're ordered to do. And some examples from right off of today's front page, Benjamin, men being permitted to use women's restrooms simply because they believe they're a woman, or, as many of us predicted, because they're going to take advantage of a situation, and all kinds of trouble is going to result from that. We could go into homosexuality, same-sex marriage, and on and on and on. That is the rotten fruit, in my opinion, of cultural Marxism or political correctness. The aim of it, though, what I've understood, and Benjamin, you are free to offer your evaluation and disagree with me, but what I've discovered and come to believe is that the aim of cultural Marxism, statism, in fact, is to undermine and destroy our Judeo-Christian heritage and foundation. People are being used as pawns and they don't even know it.
There's no question. Political correctness is just a form of thought control. And isn't it ironic, Mike, how back in the 1960s, when the conservative ideology had the main stage, if you will, the liberal, the far left, the progressive Marxist ideology demanded free speech. But now that the left, the liberal left, and the progressive movement have acquired the levers of power in the system, now it's no longer politically correct to question the current consensus thinking. 50 years ago, when the consensus was conservative, the left wanted free speech. Today, now that the left has acquired, if you will, the momentum in the direction of our country, now to question their ideology or their motives or the insanity of their ideas, now you're politically incorrect. Well, it's just a form of mind control. And what's amazing is Christianity can be persecuted. It's illegal to use the name of Jesus, and yet they'll set aside special rooms for the Muslims to pray to their moon god.
Yeah.
So how is that even possible in a sane society that allegedly embraces freedom for the individual?
Yeah.
It's not possible.
Yeah.
You have to be in an insane society for these kind of dichotomies to be accepted and commonly seen as correct. No one would dare question the rights of a Muslim to practice their religion, but the rights of Christians are persecuted and trampled upon daily.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, and we know that's true. Again, to point a finger at our media, because any behavior or activity or event that would cast a negative light upon Islam is suppressed, buried completely, if possible. But suppressed, downplayed, and just orchestrated right out of any news cycle. If it weren't for alternative media, alternative news, people such as yourself that are speaking up about these things, the average American would never hear anything about this.
Well, that's correct. And the amazing thing is the truth is out there, but there's so much disinformation that a lot of people find themselves confused. And the average American doesn't spend any time looking at alternative news. They listen to the mainstream media, and then they watch their entertainment, they watch their sporting events, and they go chase the almighty dollar. They get on the hamster wheel, and they go run after the cheese for another day. And yet, we are about to run over the edge of the cliff right into the abyss in this country, and the average American is blissfully unaware. They're actually on the USS Titanic, and the iceberg's in our path.
Yep. Well, let's broach that subject then. Let's talk about the church. Simply stated, the majority of the Christian church in America has refused. I don't think that's too strong of a word, Benjamin. They've refused to take a stand against the things that we've been talking about and much more. I can't even count anymore the number of times that the people have opposed me making an issue of the depravity that's sweeping across our nation. I hear things all the time like, well, your opposition isn't helping our cause. And of course, my response always is, well, good, I'm not trying to help your cause. I'm trying to stand firm in opposition to the evil that I see. What's wrong with the church, and why won't pastors speak up and talk about these things, Benjamin?
Well, the church has been under a direct attack not only by the satanic powers, but also by the communists. Most people don't realize that the majority, and I mean over 80% of the budget of the KGB during the Soviet era, and they've only changed their name to the FSB, they never went away. This organization, over 80% of their budget was spent on developing propaganda to destroy the culture of the United States as an early stage in their conflict against us. And much of that cultural attack on our country was focused on destroying Christianity. And so they did. And you ask, well, what's wrong with the church? Well, what's wrong with the church is that much of what calls itself the church is in fact not Christian. It's social Christianity at best, which is actually another form of cultural Marxism. And so you've got Christians stating, you know, to be a good Christian, you should support Obamacare. You should support the nationalization of our healthcare industry, which is absurd, because nothing in the Bible supports socialism. Matter of fact, the Bible takes a stand for private property rights, for personal responsibility. The Apostle Paul went so far as to saying if a man won't work, he shouldn't eat. So the Bible is, you know, completely opposed to socialism and Marxism. Yet much of the church has adopted the ideology of the world. The church has fallen from the truth. Prophets told us in the time of the end there'd be a great falling away. If you want to see what that looks like, go to the average church. You'll find a church that is devoid of the Holy Spirit. You know, so outwardly, maybe it appears to be the same organization as a legitimate Christian church. Much like Israel 2,000 years ago when Jesus came the first time, went down to the temple, it appeared to be the same temple worship as in Solomon's era and King David's era, but it was not the same. Only the formality had remained. What was happening in the spirit, what was happening in the hearts of the people, was as different as night is to day.
What you just described, Benjamin, is a church that has given itself over to the pursuit of bigger buildings, more plush surroundings, creating a welcoming environment, celebrating diversity, multiculturalism, and so-called justice, instead of preaching and teaching the gospel so that people might be saved. There are huge buildings all over America that are full to capacity with false converts because they do not have the Holy Spirit of God.
The Bible calls them the congregation of the dead. The scripture says the man who wanders out of the way of understanding shall remain within the congregation of the dead. And these are entire churches where the people, maybe they know the name of Jesus, they might even have a Bible in their hand, but they're not born again, and they're not going to heaven. The Lord even warned us on the day of judgment. Many would say to him, Lord, Lord, and he's going to say, I never knew you. So you've had this great falling away, and what people don't understand is the church, having fallen from the Lord, now seeks the embrace of the world. And that's the reason why political correctness has come within much of the church as well. Nobody wants to take a stand against sin. Rather, it's rationalized and justified.
Yeah. Benjamin, you and I share a similar viewpoint of America and its place in the biblical end times scenario. Now, I do want to say, though, that my generation grew up being told that America is not seen, it isn't represented in the end times prophetic material. Therefore, we must, as a nation, be marginalized before those days arrive. However, America has, and very few people would argue this point now, but America has emerged as the global power, both militarily and financially. As tenuous as those positions currently are, I think there's an argument to be made, and you certainly have made the argument, and others, that America is, in fact, in the least, a daughter of Mystery Babylon. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah, I grew up in the 1970s, Hal Lindsey era, Late Great Planet Earth was one of the first books I read. And, you know, the consensus view at that time was that the United States was strangely absent from Bible prophecy. Nothing could be further from the truth. There's more about the United States in the Bible than any other country save Israel itself. And there's a reason for that. The United States was founded on the Bible. The Lord created the nation of Israel for the purpose of bringing the Word of God and the Messiah into the world. And the Lord raised up the United States of America for the purpose of bringing the truth of the Bible to the world. And in our early years, America was a God-fearing nation. Of course, there was always issues. There was always the flesh that was a part of the problem of any group of people. But there was also a large number of Americans who were God-fearing Christians. But yet, this nation has lost its way. And are we in Bible prophecy? Absolutely. We're described as the hindermost nation in the book of Isaiah. And that word for hindermost, Mike, it's in the scripture in two locations. In Isaiah, it means the last, the final superpower to rise out of the earth. That same word is in the book of Genesis. When Jacob was preparing to meet Esau, he divided Rachel and her children from Leah and her children, and he put Rachel in the hindermost part, and the word meant the west, the most far distant part in the west. And so this word, speaking of the hindermost superpower, tells us that in the time of the end, a superpower, the final superpower in the earth, would rise in power in the west. And it's pictured as an eagle. Daniel chapter 7, I saw a lion with eagle's wings. The lion is England. The eagle's wings, America. We came out of England. And then, of course, the prophecy continues, and I beheld until the eagle's wings were plucked. And at that point, the lion is lifted up above the earth and is caused to stand on his feet as a man. The power of the Antichrist comes into possession of the kingdoms of the earth following the destruction of America, which will occur in World War III. But yes, America's the daughter of Babylon. We are part of Mystery Babylon. We are not the final kingdom of Babylon. That will be the one world government of the Antichrist. In reality, there have been seven Mystery Babylons. Those are the seven horns of the beast in Revelation 17. They represent seven kings and seven mountains. The kings are the political governments, the mountains, the false religions of these satanic systems. And there have been seven ruling world governments, if you will. Ancient Babylon was merely one of them, from which we derive the name Mystery Babylon. But all of these governments are antichrist, they're anti-God, and they are essentially occultic and satanic at their core.
All eyes and minds are focused on the Middle East today, and with good reason. Russia is emerging as a dominant player, power broker, or whatever phrase folks would like to use. And for many of us as Bible students, prophecy students, that was expected. But the speed at which it is happening almost takes your breath away. And it's as if all of the dominoes are falling into place. Is it your view, Benjamin, that Gog is being set up right now before our eyes for this last end times event?
Oh, absolutely. You know, if you want to point to World War III and the prophetic writings, you have to go to Ezekiel 38, in which we are told Gog, Magog, and an alliance of many nations would descend upon the mountains of Israel, attack the reborn state of Israel in the last days. And then in verse 10, Ezekiel 38:10, the scripture tells us at the same time as the events of the first nine verses, which is the invasion of Israel at the time of the end, another thought will come into the mind of the enemies of Israel, and they're going to attack another nation without walls around its cities, who has great wealth and whose citizens are also immigrants from all over the world. Well, that other nation is the United States of America. And so World War III, if you will, is the Battle of Ezekiel 38. It takes place immediately before the rise of the Antichrist kingdom, the New World Order of the Beast. It's immediately before the time of Great Tribulation. And in the final global war, both Israel and the United States are attacked by an alliance of communist and Islamic nations. And of course, Russia is the ally of all the terrorist states, Syria, Iran, and the rest of the terrorist states. And if you go back and do the homework, you'll find out that Islamic terrorism was the brainchild of the KGB. Even today, the Russians are involved in Islamic terrorism. Russian operatives are inside of Al-Qaeda, they're inside ISIS, and they're behind the carpet bombing of the civilian centers in Syria that created the huge immigration flow towards the West, which of course is part of the, if you will, it's a fifth column being used to destabilize the Western countries. They ultimately want to divide NATO, isolate the United States, and then injure us economically before they actually go to war with us. And these things are coming to pass right before our eyes. I wish we had more time, Mike, because, you know, I've written several books about these subjects, and we're only glossing over the information. But I would encourage our listeners, go to my website, BenjaminBaruch.net, and you will find links to a bunch of YouTube audio programs that cover in much greater detail the events that are leading up to the judgment of our country and then the rise of the New World Order of the Beast. And you know, the good news is God revealed all of this in Scripture. The Lord is still in control. This is going to, if you will, cleanse the church, make the bride ready for the wedding feast, then bring final judgment upon the wicked before the Lord returns and takes back the kingdom. Hallelujah. And he's coming quickly.
Yeah. It almost seems like what's going on in the Middle East, Benjamin, is this very disjointed stop and start kind of waltz where America is trying to figure out how we can influence the events, and we're being cut off at every turn. Our only beyond Israel, our only, and I say this guardedly, our only friend would be the Saudis, but you don't want to turn your back on them either. They're pretty nervous about all of this going on and what Russia's doing, aren't they?
Well, the Saudis, they were our friend as long as the American military had the dominant position and would be capable of ensuring the political authority of the Saudi family over that country. As soon as we are no longer the dominant player on the ground, their loyalty will be as fickle as the wind. And so, you know, you're talking about a regime that is basically talking out of both sides of their mouth. To the West, they present themselves as a reasonable, conservative, trusted royalty, a trusted regime. But at the same time, the educational system in Saudi Arabia is completely radicalized. You know, they've basically compromised with the radical elements within the Islamic community within their own country. And so, you know, which is it? Is Saudi Arabia a friend of the West, or are they a supporter of Islamic terrorism? And the answer is they're both. They present themselves as a friend to the West, as long as the West has something they need, and at the same time, they are very much a country that supports and enculturates their people in Islamic radicalism and Islamic terrorism. One of those two is going to change sometime quickly. The other is permanently embedded in their economic and social strata and will never change.
That's right. Yeah, that's a good observation. In your book, The New Tactics of Global War, which I highly recommend, listeners, in your book, you make the case that once America is destroyed, that is the green light for the rise of a global government, and you suggest that the United Nations fits the bill.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you go back to your Bible, one of the mistakes people made in their personal interpretation of Bible prophecy, well, for one thing, they relied on their own understanding without hearing from the Lord, and second, they ignored the detail in the text. If you look at the fall of Babylon in Revelation 17 and 18, it is very clear that the 10 kings who will rule in power with the Antichrist for 1 hour, they hate Mystery Babylon, and they destroy her. First, they eat her flesh, they strip her naked, then they burn her cities with fire. Well, the 10 kings who are 10 rulers who will rise in power when the New World Order comes to power after World War III, they are not going to hate their world government. It's another country that they hate. It's a country that at one time was a Christian country, and it's the United States of America that's described in Revelation 17 and 18. People make the assumption that the events in the book of Revelation occur in chronological order. They do not. The book of Revelation is a series of views into the prophetic events of the future, but they don't all occur in perfect chronology. So the fact that the fall of the United States, which is the nation pictured in Revelation 17 and 18, is presented towards the end of the book, that event actually occurs before the Antichrist even comes to power. And so the United States is really next up, if you will. And, you know, how close are the enemies of America to actual war? Well, first they have to damage us economically using what will be pretty devastating terrorist incidents designed to cripple the economy. And when we see the massive terror wave, which the Soviets described as a time of gray terror, where the United States will be attacked with even weapons of mass destruction, suitcase-sized atomic bombs will be detonated in some of our cities. This will completely devastate our economy, throwing us into domestic chaos, and it'll gradually degrade our ability to defend ourselves. And we'll be wide open for the final attack. You know, the reason that Jeff Nyquist and I wrote the book, The New Tactics of Global War, was to show the church and for the people who could not believe we were on the verge of God's judgment in this country. People found it impossible to believe. They thought there's no way the United States could be destroyed in 1 hour. And we thought, really? Glad you asked the question. Now we're going to explain to you the answer. This book outlines how vulnerable we really are and how, in fact, using hypersonic missiles, Russia, China, and the Communist Islamic Alliance can, in fact, destroy military capabilities in many of our cities. It can all burn in less than an hour. The Bible is literal. In 1 hour, such great wealth will be destroyed. And when America is destroyed in World War III, we won't be the only country damaged. Israel will be attacked. Much of the Middle East will be in flames. No doubt the damage will be worldwide. The entire world economic system will collapse. Black horse will follow the red horse of war. And, you know, why is the red horse red? Well, the reds are the ones who start the war. Who's the rider on the white horse? Some people say it was Jesus. Wrong. These are the four judgments being released on the earth. The rider on the white horse brings to humanity the agenda of the Antichrist, a one-world government, the United Nations, a central government of independent states. And the rider on the white horse has confused so many people because, Mike, he also happens to live in a white house. So Bible prophecy is not that confusing.
The guy in the white horse lives in the White House. The guy in the red horse is the Reds. And after World War III, the black horse is going to follow immediately. And it is a global depression, the likes of which we've never seen. And the nations of the earth will all surrender their sovereignty to the one world government in order to be part of the reconstruction, if you will, that's going to follow the world war. And the Antichrist kingdom is going to come to power very, very quickly. And then the rest of the book will be fulfilled. And then the Lord is going to break through the clouds. And he's going to land on the Mount of Olives. And he's going to take back his city. And then the dead will be raised. And the books will be opened. You know, it is incumbent upon all of us that we get ready. Because these things are coming to pass right before our eyes.
Yes. Yeah, and that's good encouragement. If you are a born-again believer, that's good encouragement, Benjamin, for them. Get serious in your relationship. Take it off autopilot. Start following the direction of the Holy Spirit. Study the Word of God. Have the Holy Spirit reveal to you what's coming. It's only a mystery to those who do not believe and do not search out the Scriptures. Benjamin, I appreciate the conversation with you tonight. Any other projects you'd like to let our listeners know about?
Well, I'm in the process of finishing Volume 4 of the Search of the Scriptures series, and it's entitled I Am the Door, and it's about our identity in Jesus and how we overcome the world, our own flesh, and the devil. We want to be the overcomers. If you read the letters in the book of Revelation, Jesus continually makes the statement, to him who overcomes, to him who overcomes, I will give a new name. To him who overcomes, they will eat from the tree of life. They will drink the water, living water in the holy city. So it is incumbent upon us to equip ourselves with the how to overcome. And that's the purpose of the Search of the Scriptures series. I would encourage the listeners, check out the website. There's some information on the history of how God brought this work forward. These books are not my opinions. They came forth by the power of the Lord. And through clay vessels such as us, God does amazing things. Thank Him for it.
Yes, we do. The website is Benjamin Baruch, B-A-R-U-C-H .net. BenjaminBaruch.net. You can get all of the books that Benjamin has written. Be encouraged, and do you have a speaking schedule there, Benjamin, where folks can track you down?
Well, I'm going to be at the Prophecy in the News Prophecy Conference. It takes place in Colorado in June, and people have a chance. There's information on the Prophecy in the News website, and I speak on radio. There's probably several hundred archived YouTube or SoundCloud programs that are out there, and quite a few of them are linked through on my website if people are interested.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you so much, Benjamin, for joining me on this episode. I appreciate your insight and taking the time. God bless you.
You're welcome, Mike. God bless you. Thank you for having me.
Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. Visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact contact Mike directly by email at the following address, pastormike@woh.rr.com. God bless you today as you seek him.